Bless the Lord. Well, I like a lot of Bibles, but I'm going to give you yours back. If you know me, I have a little bit of a collection. Just a little bit. We're just getting started. And love different copies and translations and all that. Hasn't it been good to be here already?
Yes.
God's presence is real. He's real. He's real. Turn with me tonight, if you would, please, to the third chapter of Acts. It's where we began looking last night, and there's some other things I believe God would help us say. And want you to know He loves you.
Yes.
He loves nothing. Listen to me. Nothing you can do can change that.
That's right.
Nothing
that's
that you right. have done. Right. Nothing that you will do. Or nothing you're now doing can change the fact that God so intensely loves you. Amen. Well, then, does it matter what we do? Of course it does. Of course it does. My wife loves me. Therefore, it matters to me how I treat her. It matters to me what her preferences are. It matters to me what she likes. What she likes, I want to see her have. You know what I'm saying? And so, of course it matters. Of course it matters. But aren't you glad He loves you?
Yes.
He loves you. Close your eyes and just say, Father, thank you for your amazing love.
Thank you for your amazing love.
That's pointed directly at me.
I believe that love.
I receive that love.
And I'm so excited
at what that love will produce
as you and I
walk together
this year.
Thank you, Master,
that you love me.
Therefore, I love you. Doesn't the Bible say we love Him because He first loved us? Amen. So amazing. So amazing. You know, if you weren't raised with parents that displayed love to you, it can be difficult. Or if you didn't have a father, for example, maybe in your life at all, or one that displayed the God kind of love. I know my dad was much older when he got married, so he had me when he was just about 50 years old, and then my brother when he was 52 and all that. But just from his generation, he wasn't from a generation where men would say, I love you.
Right.
Or, and don't get me wrong, you know, I have pictures of myself when I was little, really cute. You can imagine. But I have pictures of myself little with my dad. You know, of course, he's holding me and loving me and all that. I get that. But I just mean as I grow, he wasn't one that would come and hug you and come and say, I love you. But listen. Later in life, I made sure I initiated it.
Yes.
Later in his life, I mean, I said, "Okay, if you're not going, if that wasn't your generation, well, I'm in the generation of Christ now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm in the family of God now, and we express love in the family of God.
Yes.
And so I made sure I initiated
right.
it.
Yeah. Amen.
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 And praise the Lord. So, but your Father in heaven loves you. You know, it doesn't matter what your family tree is,
that's right.
huh? Some folk are proud of their family tree. They found out it's really just a nut tree or a fruit tree. Nuts and fruits on your family tree. But how many know that if you're in the family of God, the Bible says you are of God, little children, and have overcome because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. So my in Christ, your family tree goes from Jesus to you.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Glory to God. That's just a wonderful thing. It's true. We said last night, you know, I'm not over this Christianity thing yet. This year, January 1st, I told you about it last night, 1980, it would have been January 1st, 1986, the sun had come up from me being up on New Year's Eve. I received Jesus that day, and new year, new life. And my life's never been the same since January 1st, 1986. 86, and I just want to give God the glory and thank Him for all He's done and continues to do. It never gets old, does it? When you get something new, maybe if you got something for Christmas that was a new item, hopefully you didn't get a lot of used stuff for Christmas. You know what I'm saying? But if you got something new, how many know it's only new when it's new? And then it's not new. Then it's pre-loved, pre-owned. Those are all words they came up with. They used to just call them used cars. But then that doesn't sound good, so they call it pre-owned. You know, it's a little bit tough if you're of my generation. It's a little bit tough to keep up with all the new phrases and some of the, I'm not going to say woke, but you know what I'm saying. Some of the stuff. And so I got to tell you a story. Can I tell you just a quick story before we get in the Word? So I'm actually finishing up a book right now, and I'm at the point in the book where it's all written, it's all edited, and so one of the last things I do is I have an AI system. You know what that is? Very artificial. It should be a VAI, very artificial intelligence. But it's a program that checks my work for anything that I would have missed. And trust me, I was no English major. Like Miss Bhatti was an English guy, has an English degree. She helps me, and she'll be one of the last set of eyes to look at it. And but I use this AI thing, and so I said something in the book about how somebody was very young, and a little thing came up. It flagged it and it said, "This sounds ageist."
Ageist.
So I'm just telling you, listen, I learned something new today. I knew racist. I knew, you know, I know this, I know that, but I didn't know ageist. And so, listen, if my stuff comes across a little bit ageist, I didn't change it. Yeah, I told the AI to go look at somebody else's work and call it ageist. You know what I'm saying? Amen. Hallelujah. I thought that you just thought you wanted to know. That is why you got dressed and came here tonight, right? To hear me talk about that. In Acts chapter 3. Hallelujah. And everything that shall happen tonight, everything that should happen, shall happen. Everything that should happen, shall happen. Nothing more, nothing less. Just what God wants. That's where my faith is for tonight. How about you? Verse 19, this is a passage, I tell you what, there's so much in it. It says, "Repent, therefore, and turn back." Talking about turning back from your way. Turning back from the way you were going. Repent means to make a change. Make a change and turn back. Turn back. That your sins may be blotted out. Glory to God. And then once that happens, now let me talk about this thing, this word repent. We said to you last night, that doesn't mean you have to be on the floor crying. It can include tears. But repentance is a heart issue. It's a change of heart more than anything. And it's when you recognize on the inside, I'm not going the right way. And I want to also bring this out about this word repentance, that we always think it's some major thing. Meaning I was living with another woman outside of, or you know what I mean? I was unfaithful to my marriage vows or something like that. I have to repent.
Yeah.
Well, I would have to repent.
Yeah.
I'd have to repent and may as well buy a flower shop. You know what I mean? No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that, but it's just an example.
Right.
That would be major. That would be a major turn to repent. But how many know if you're in a vehicle and you're going the complete wrong direction, you got to turn that wheel.
Yes.
You got to turn that wheel all the way, right?
Yes.
Because if you're using your phone GPS, it's going to say, make a U-turn at the next corner.
Right.
Now, let me fuss one more time. The phone doesn't care whether it's a legal U-turn or an illegal, because the phone has never paid a ticket yet. Have you ever had your phone tell you make a U-turn? You're like, no, we're not making a U-turn in here. But anyhow, it'll still say it. I'll try to stay on course tonight if y'all help me. But a U-turn is a major correction. You're going the wrong direction, and you know, wait a second, I gotta turn this thing around. And depending on how big a mess you've become, it can sometimes take a while. And what I mean by this, if you're driving a jet ski, has anybody ever been on a jet ski? Yes. May I encourage you, if my wife's on one, don't get on one in the same lake. She loses all sense when she's on that jet ski. Yes, throws me right off the back. Amen. But anyhow, she likes jet skis. If you're driving a jet ski, you can turn that thing around pretty quick. I mean, really, you can, you know, just get that thing going the opposite direction. But if you're driving an ocean liner, you're going to need some real estate half the size of Texas to get that thing turned all the way around. Why? Because there's a lot of stuff coming with that's with you. You got something big. You know, if life's a big wreck, sometimes it can take a little bit to make that turn. But either way, all our job is to point in the right direction. God's job is to get you where you need to go. And don't you know He can do that?
Yes.
Well, then there's other times where you're not making such a big turn, but you know, you do find out, wait a second, I'm maybe not in sin, but I'm not quite on course. And so what you need then is a course correction. But you have to understand, if you're in an airplane and you're just a little bit off course, maybe it doesn't affect you for the first little bit, but if you do your whole trip like that, you could be on a flight to Seattle and end up in Cabo San Lucas. Come on now, you can just that little bit.
Right. Right.
It just sends you eventually, it's gonna be a big detour. And so you wanna always be aware and listening to the Spirit of God if He's dealing with you. This isn't just right. I'm going to know just right or just about right is not right.
Right.
Yeah. Not quite,
yeah.
Is not right. And so we want to get it right, don't we? We want God's perfect. There's no good reason, Christians, talking to me, and you can listen in. There's just no good reason for any of us to walk in anything but God's best for our lives.
Yeah.
Meaning his plan, yeah, his plan for your life. There's no reason to walk in something that's just not his plan for you.
That's right.
He's so good. Is he good enough to make it clear to you and help you?
Yes.
And don't you know that if you didn't hear right, are there people you're connected to that he could deal with that would help you?
Yes.
Well, again, yes, we say all the time. That's why it's so important to be rightly connected so that you get that help.
That's right.
Amen. So there's major U-turns. There's these course corrections. But then I'll tell you what. There's also, because we're talking about repentance, which means to make a change. There's also, if you're driving a car, how many here constantly are making small adjustments?
Sure.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Anybody here, you get in the car and you just hold the wheel straight and you get pointed? And you just say, well, why should I turn the wheel? I mean, I started out straight.
Yeah.
No, it's a constant this, right? It's a constant, right? And so is following God. It's a constant adjustment. So even if you're not in sin, which we hope you're not, repentance is still for you. Good news.
Amen.
And repentance does not, one aspect of it is sorrow, but it doesn't mean you're always having to break down in tears. It's not always a major thing. It can be an all the time, every day thing of just making those adjustments as the Spirit of God deals with you. As you see, wait a second, what I just said, that's not the love of God. That wasn't the love of God coming out of my mouth, right? Am I the only one? Come on, some of you looking at me blank. Am I the only one that's ever said anything and realized that doesn't reflect the love of God? And what do you got to do real quick? Make the change. And if it was somebody you said it to, repent to them. Have I ever repented to you? Yeah, frequently. Some, right? Yeah, we all the time. It's no big deal. Some people say, well, I just have a hard time telling anybody that, you know, saying that I'm sorry. You ever met anybody like that? I know nobody here in Castle Rock, but down in Larkspur, it happens all the time to people down there.
Come on now.
Huh?
Come on.
Hard time saying, if you can't say I'm sorry, say I apologize. Amen. But get used to making these adjustments, because it'll keep you going the right way.
Yes. Yes.
It'll keep you right in the center of the will of God, and the Spirit will deal with you. I know you're used to doing it this way, but today do it this way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just make that little adjustment and do it that way, and you'll have success.
Amen.
Amen. So repent therefore. That's, I wanted you to see, when it's talking about repent, it's not just talking about initial repentance. Maybe in the context here it might be, but it's not just talking about your initial turn from sin towards Christ, but a daily turning from your way, your will, and even mistakes that you make, or even just being sensitive to doing things a different way than you're normally doing it. Repent and turn so that your sins may be blotted out. When your sins are blotted out, friends, there is a 100% clear, unobstructed path from God to you, and the flow of His Spirit, the flow of His goodness, the flow of His healing, the flow of His provision, the flow of His deliverance can reach your life. Amen. So you want to keep a conscience that's clear? Yay. You want to keep a clear conscience? Paul said, I always strive to keep a conscience free of offense. Meaning, you know what it's like when you did something you shouldn't do, said something you shouldn't say, and then on the inside something's saying, shouldn't have done that. Why'd you do that? Told you not to do that. Huh? And if you just plow through that, like I've, you know, it's more comfortable to just not address those things when they happen, isn't it? And if you just plow through that kind of behavior, what you'll do is you'll desensitize your conscience.
Yeah. Yes.
And you can just do that enough. For example, if somebody is used to drinking really, really hot coffee or something like that. Well, I don't drink coffee for no reason. You can. My wife drinks enough for both of us.
Yes.
And but if I tried to drink really hot coffee the way somebody who's used to it does, it would fry my throat. I just don't drink that, right?
Yeah.
So, but what's the deal? Why can they do it? Why can somebody who drinks scalding hot coffee, why can they do that? Well, they're calloused,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
They've actually seared. It's called searing. Your flesh there,
yeah.
Right? They've seared it, meaning the nerves aren't really sensitive to that temperature anymore, and you can just drink it down like no problem. Anybody here know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Good. Good. So you can sear your conscience. You can sear your conscience. You can get to where you lose sensitivity to God, because when He deals with you, you refuse to make the change. And listen, anybody can do this. Anyway, there's no condemnation here.
Right, right.
There's no judgment in this room tonight from me to you.
Right.
But there needs to be judgment from you to you. Meaning, meaning we judge ourselves so that we're not judged. That's 1 Corinthians 11, verse 30. Judge yourself that you be not judged.
Uh-huh.
Amen. And so you want to get in the habit of being sensitive to God. So that there's an unobstructed path. So that there's, somebody knows, sin will block the flow of God to your life. A violated conscience, when you know you shouldn't have done, shouldn't have said, shouldn't have cheated, whatever it was. No one's accusing you here.
No.
But you know you shouldn't have done what you done did. And you say, well, I don't care. And you go anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we saying this? Didn't plan to say this. But you go anyhow.
Yeah.
And you keep doing it. And you do it repeatedly. You will get to the point where you no longer sense the dealings of the Spirit of God.
Yep.
Because you've desensitized yourself.
Yeah. It's true.
But I have good news for you. Yeah. Do you want the good news?
Yes.
we're not done in this verse, but can we come back to this verse?
Yes.
How hard would it be if I asked you to find Hosea? Would it be impossible, or you think it could happen? Go to Hosea, the 10th chapter. I like people of faith that say, yeah, we can find it. We can get Hosea.
Yes.
Trying to find that temperature I need.
Yeah. Which chapter?
Hosea 10. Are you doing good tonight?
Yes.
Glad you're not sitting in a hospital room?
Yes.
Listening to the...
Yes.
Glad you're not getting this from a jail cell.
Come on, yes.
You're free.
Free.
You're here.
Yes.
Glory to God. Hosea chapter 10.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 12. It says, sow for yourselves righteousness.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah,
sow, not just for God. For yourselves. It's what happens when you sow? If you sow, you
reap.
Sow righteousness so that you reap the harvest of righteousness. For your sake.
For
your sake. Would you please do something for you this year?
Come on now. Yeah.
How many here you'll do something for yourself?
Yeah.
This is a self-care class. That's another new word for me. Self-care. We had no such thing when I was growing up as self-care.
No.
We just lived selfishly. That's all we did. We didn't have a name for it. But anyhow, self-care. Sow for yourselves righteousness and reap steadfast love.
Yes.
Look at this next phrase. It says, break up your fallow ground. That just means your hard ground. That which got desensitized. Break it up.
Break it up.
We're going to have a breakup here tonight. Breaking up is hard to do. Remember that song, Breaking Up is Hard to Do?
Yeah.
Now we sing, we are never, never, never getting back together. That's our breakup song today. I have a daughter. That's how come I know these things. Break up.
Break up.
Come on, say it with me. Break up.
Break
up that fallow ground. Listen, when sometimes there's these calluses that develop in your spirit. And it's just because maybe there was a part of the service. You're like, I just don't like that part.
Come on.
Again, nobody in here, I understand. I understand that's not you, right? Up in Brighton all day long they do this. So we're trying to help other people.
Yeah.
Maybe you get some help too. But I don't like that part of the service. I'm just not going to participate in that. Because I just don't like that. Or I don't like how they do that. I'm going to try not to empty your church out. But there's a couple conditions in the body of Christ that I just seem to like to address. Number one is the Goldilocks Christian. You know about the Goldilocks? How many remember this? When I was coming up, we had the story of Goldilocks and the three bears. And Goldilocks is in there, and Papa Bear's bed was too hard. Mama Bear's bed was too soft. But Baby Bear's bed, help me, preach to me, preach with me tonight. Baby Bear's bed, what was it?
It was just right.
And so after her nap, she went to some porridge. And Papa Bear's porridge was too hot. Mama Bear's was too cold. But Baby Bear's was just right. You might say, why are you saying this? Because there's something called the Goldilocks Christian, where everything has to be
just right.
Does anybody stop to think that Goldilocks was breaking and entering? Should you really be picky?
Yeah.
Papa Bear pulls out his phone, and the Ring doorbell says, like, who is this girl with the coral? Goldilocks Christians. You ever met one? You ever met one? Well, I just don't like that. Why do they sing that song? Why do they sing that song? With all those verses. Why do they sing that song? Don't they know? Huh? Why do they sing those songs with just one verse?
Come on. Yeah.
Sing the same words over and over.
Why don't they sing the songs I listen to?
Oh. Come on now.
Why don't you come enough to get involved to where, oh, Jesus, to where you have an investment, to where you have some ownership. I'm not even opening my eyes. I'm not going to look at nobody. Why don't you come to where you have some ownership in the thing, and then you won't be criticizing so much what you own. You won't, oh, Jesus. Is this the bulletproof one? Did you get the, I'm hiding behind here. Hello? Brother, preaching a little bit tonight.
Yes.
Say amen if you can.
Amen.
I went to one church. I preached at one church recently, and the pastor's wife said, she said, ouch and amen. If you need to say ouch and amen, say ouch and amen. So there's Goldilocks Christians. Goldilocks Christians. I'm not going to be a Goldilocks Christian in 2024. No. If it's God, I've decided this. Even if I hear a bad message, meaning it just flopped. Well, number one, I am a preacher. I have great mercy on any preacher because I've preached those before. I've preached those. You might say, when? Well, before you were around. I've preached them, trust me. And I'm trying not to preach one tonight. But I decided this. I decided years ago, I said, if they just read a verse, if there's a Bible verse, because how many know the Word of God is pure, the Bible says? Psalm 19, the Word of God is pure. There's no fault in the Word. As if they just read a verse, they can say everything else wrong. And I'll just keep that verse before me and say, glory to God. Wasn't that amazing? Wasn't that amazing? That pastor read such and such a passage. And somebody might say, yeah, but he butchered. No. The Word is good. I'm good. The Word's good. So we're not going to be a Goldilocks Christian. You know what else we're not going to be? A cafeteria Christian. Cafeteria. Now, anybody remember the lunch line at school? But even better than that is if you're old, forgive me if you're not old enough, but you need to learn the wisdom of your elders who grew up with Lubies and Piccadilly and Morrison's and Furs. Anybody know at least one of those? What, you don't, New York? No, you Jersey girl had diners. They have diners. They're different. Cafeteria is where they serve everything. And you get your tray. The first thing you get is your tray. And then you go down the line, and the first thing they have is the salad station. And at the salad, everything's pre-made. And at the salad station, you can get a regular garden salad. You can get a Caesar salad. You just pick the bowl out yourself. Pick the bowl, go right there. Or you can even get carrot raisin salad. I don't know who ate it. Every time I went, they had plenty of carrot raisin salad. And so probably nobody ever got the carrot raisin salad. But they always had any. Do I have a witness here? Anybody? There's a witness. There's another witness that they always had carrot raisin salad. But they'd also have Jell-O and ambrosia in the salad section. So I'd get that. And then you go down the entrees. And there's 5, 6, 7, maybe 8 different entrees. And you say, I'll take that. And then the sides, you get your sides. They're all there. You just go down, you pick and choose. And you say, I like that. I don't like that. I like that. I don't like that. We don't want to be cafeteria Christians where we say, well, I like healing, but I don't like tithing. Listen, Goldilocks. Listen, cafeteria clown. If it's on God's menu,
yes.
Put it on my tray.
Put it on the tray.
Amen.
If it's on God's menu,
yes.
Put it on my tray. I want it all. I want it all. If it's God. If it's God. Amen. So break up that fallow ground. How does ground on the ground of your spirit, how does it get hard? Well, by doing things that we just talked about. Just those attitudes, just those different things. It's not always some big sin, you know. I knocked off the King Supers, you know, in the middle of the night. And no, it's not that. Come on, most, you're not going to do that. But sometimes people will discount the things of God and say, well, I just don't think. That's because you're leaning on your own understanding. Come on. So what do you have to do to break up that fallow ground? Repent. Make the change. If it's a U-turn, make the U-turn. If it's a course correction, make that course correction. No biggie. We do it all the time. Okay, I'll make the correction. Can I just ask you how this is supposed to be? Anyhow. How well do you take correction? Everyone looks straight ahead like you are. Blank look. How well do you take correction? Is that the point where you end up finding a new job?
Come on.
Because of how you responded to correction? It's just, I'm not asking for testimonies. I'm just asking. You evaluate you, okay? I'm not evaluating you. How do you take correct? How do you handle correction? Can you take it? Hello? Is this thing on?
Yeah, it's on.
Glory. My wife blessed me with some correction today. I took it. Just took it. I didn't sit and wallow and get in some big old fuss. Well, who does she think she is giving you? We're in this together. We're in this thing together. Amen. You have to be able to take correction to make a correction. If you can't take correction, you'll never make the correction. Send that to me this week, okay? If you can't take correction, you won't make correction. So it's just by making these corrections and saying, I was wrong, I'll make that change. And that tenderizes the ground of your inner man. And I'll tell you, there is nothing more wonderful than being tender and soft and sensitive on the inside. Some folk might say, well, I ain't no pansy. Well, I'm not talking about being a weakling. Because there's no greater strength. You know, the Bible talks about Jesus. Jesus himself said, I am meek and lowly in heart. And if you've ever found a stronger person than Jesus,
come on now.
Show them to me.
Come on.
But I've never been more impressed by anybody's strength than when Jesus backed off and just wrote in the sand.
Come on now.
Just didn't feel like he needed to explode. When people were lying about him to the authorities and saying all kinds of trash about him. And Jesus said, the Bible says, he opened like a sheep led to slaughter. He opened not his mouth. Is that not strength? I want to be just like that. Amen. So every time you make those changes, every time you make those corrections, you keep yourself in a place of sensitivity.
Yes.
And can I show you what happens when you're sensitive? You seek the Lord and he comes
and he rains
righteousness on you. Everything negative got blotted out. And there's a clear pathway for the rain of God.
Yes.
For the rain of his blessing.
Yes.
and for the rain of his refreshing. Go to Acts chapter 3. Because we read the 19th verse, didn't we? Hey, everybody, you with me tonight? You doing good? If you're feeling sore from the beating, just listen. Listen. I'm not beating you, you understand. But the word is corrective. And what do? We just make the change. Guys, listen. David's ministry, and I understand he wasn't a preacher, but yet he had a ministry. He was known as a prophet. Also, of course, a king. When he fell with Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, you know the story?
Yes.
It was over. It was over. The prophet came to him and said, you tore that man's wife away from him and then tore her husband from her by having him murdered.
Right.
And he said, I'll tear the kingdom from you. It was done. And David saw what he had done. And he hit the floor. Right? There was no time. This was still the prophet Nathan came and confronted him. I mean, right there, he said, oh my God, I've sinned. And read Psalm 51, where he goes and he says, restore in me, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. He repented. He repented seriously. Had to repent to Bathsheba. And because he repented, his relationship with her was restored. His kingdom was restored. And God said, there will never fail to be a king on your throne from your line. And ultimately that king came named Jesus. The King of Kings. Came from David's line. And if David hadn't repented, that couldn't have happened. Repentance can change a relationship. You can have two people that are on their way to the divorce court. And if they will both repent and make the change that they need to change, their marriage can be 100% restored in minutes.
Yes.
A relationship, things can change. Things can change.
Amen.
Healing can flow.
Yes.
Listen. You won't find anybody who believes in all the different methods of healing as much as me. I am 100% on. I have a healing anointing, thank God, and in some different areas. And I've had power flow out of my hand so strong I have to get an usher to pull my hand off of them because I can't move it because it's that tangible and that real. So I love all of the different methods of healing, laying on of hands and everything else. But so much of the time, these issues contribute more to people's problems. It's not that God's not sending his power. It's that there's a blockage keeping the power from reaching. And if we just make the change, if you don't like the word repent, just say make the change. If you just make the change, that thing can flow. And instantly, things can be different. Ask me how I know. Huh? We all have to learn this, don't we? So where do we have you go? Back to Acts? That he may come and reign. Break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord, that he may come and rain righteousness on you. So we were in Acts chapter 3. Hallelujah. Verse 19, repent therefore, turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that the obstruction may be obliterated. And what'll happen? What'll happen? So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. This lets us know, friends, that there's times where God's endeavoring to send his refreshing. endeavoring to send his blessing, his outpouring, if we can use that word. But if people aren't sensitive, if people aren't open, if they've put up a wall, we ain't going to talk about putting up walls. Huh? Well, I'm just not, I just would rather not deal with it. I'm not going to deal with it. So I'll just retreat. I know I'm not preaching to anybody but me here tonight, but I'll just retreat into my cave and I'll put up my wall and I'll just look straight ahead. Thank you. Thank you. How many know what I'm talking about? You, or more likely somebody that you know, has done that, right? Yeah. That's a you're blocking God's power. It's not that he's sitting up there saying, well, until you get it right, I'm not sending anything. Listen, he's already poured out his spirit on the day of Pentecost. It's rained upon us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Glory.
And he's just waiting for it to be received. You might just need to come and jump in and help me, because I'm about to tag out. So repent, turn, so that God's times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Amen. Over in Hosea, it talked about so that he may come and rain righteousness on you. Can rain be refreshing if there hasn't been any rain? How many know if there hadn't been any rain? Rain is really refreshing.
Yes.
Say amen, just so I know that you're actually living, breathing.
Amen.
Can I get an amen from the back? Go.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. We did it. We did it. I go around the whole room. You know you can do that anytime that you hear something good. You're welcome to do that. Y'all did really good. Really, really good. Times of refreshing.
Seasons of blessing.
Showers of rain. Glory to God. Times of refreshing. I told you in the Greek that really means seasons of revival. Remember the Amplified said reviving with fresh air.
Yeah. Yeah.
Revival, renewal,
yes.
Rain,
outpouring.
It's God's desire to do today what he did in Acts chapter 2. How many remember the 17th verse of Acts chapter 2? Y'all remember that, or we need to look at it? I know we need to look at it. Acts chapter 2, round about verse 17. It's only one page over.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
What's verse 17 said? Huh? Well, why did he say that? Why did he say that? Verse 12 says, and they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? The Spirit of God was poured out. Do you remember this story? The day of Pentecost, they were all together in one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing, mighty wind, filled all the room where they were sitting. Amen.
Yes.
And then tongues of fire appeared, sat on each of them.
Yes.
And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. You remember that?
Yes.
Right? And it created such a stir
that
all the religious Jews were there together from every nation. Isn't that amazing? God had them all gathered right there, a missions conference.
Come on now.
No, people from it. Why? Why were they all there? So they could get the same thing and take it back to their nations. Amazing.
Amazing.
And so he said, others mocking said, they're filled with new wine.
Right.
Why'd they say they were filled with new wine? Because they acted like they'd been hitting the bottle, filled with new wine.
Yep.
How do you act when you're filled with wine? Like most people think you act here anyhow. You display symptoms of fullness. Spiritual fullness.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
When you're full, God comes out of you.
Yes. Yes.
So God was coming out of him.
Yes.
And really, you can get so full to the point to where your physical senses take a back seat to other things.
Yes.
How many have ever been there?
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Your hair might get, you know, your hair might be going this way instead of that way, whatever way you wanted it to go. All kind of stuff can change when you're that full. So they said, these men are full of new wine. Well, Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. He said, men of Judea, all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. These people are not drunk as you suppose, seeing it's only the third hour of the day. See, they thought that they went to Joel's place.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why it was called Joel's place. Mm-hmm. Verse 16 said, this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel.
Right.
They thought that he went to the local bar and that they had gotten drunk in the first thing in the morning. He said, the bars aren't open yet. It's 9 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he said, this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out. Everybody say, pour out.
Pour out.
Say it a little better than that. Pour out.
Pour out.
I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. How many here have flesh? Huh? Raise your hand if you have flesh. Right? You qualify. This is for you. I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. They'll start speaking by the Spirit of God. And your young men shall see visions. Get ready, man. And your old men shall see dreams. There ain't no old man in here, but anyhow, if it happens, it happens.
Yeah, yeah.
And even on my male servants and female servants. We got any male servants here?
Yep.
We got two of us.
Yes.
Any other male servants?
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Any female servants?
Yes. Yes.
Any who don't identify? What's is there any here that... No, yeah, everybody's, you found out, you think you're either one or the other of those. Because you got to be inclusive. Come on. Even on my, on my male servants and on my female servants.
In those days,
I'll pour out my spirit.
Yes.
And they shall prophesy.
Yes.
I'll show wonders and signs. Glory to God.
Yeah.
And if I could keep reading just a verse or two. I'll show wonders in the heavens, signs on the earth below, blood, fire, vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood before the great day of the Lord comes, that great and magnificent day, and it shall come to pass. Are you with me?
Yes.
Read it with me. That everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so right in the next chapter, I mean, they got so full of God, Peter and John, they're walking along. They're going to the temple at the hour of prayer. This crippled guy's been there. He's over 40 years old, been crippled all his life. And he's been laid there daily. You know what that means? Every day somebody comes and puts him there with a cardboard sign. He may have several of them, one for each day of the week. I'm a veteran one day. Next day he says, you know, I lost my job. Next day he's got a different one, whatever. You know, whatever the signs. We've all seen the signs that people have. My favorite sign is the one that said there was a fire and the weed burned up. So they need more. So anyhow, at least they were honest. And so he was there every day asking for a donation, something, right?
Yeah.
And Peter and John were there, and they said, silver and gold have I none.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't mean they lived in poverty.
No.
You know what it means?
They
went there every day, and they knew he was there every day.
Yeah.
And they finally said, let's just leave the money at home. I don't know how it happened. And it's okay. It's fine to give to people as you're led to give to people.
Yes.
But anyhow, they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, something in them stirred.
Yes.
Something in them stirs. Such as I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus. Rise. Get up, and walk. And the man leaped, rose to his feet, and walked. And everybody was happy until the religious people found out about it. And now they're calling him in before the authorities and saying, no, you can't. Listen, you don't speak in that name. You don't preach in that name. You don't teach in that name. And Peter and John had a good answer. They said, whether it's right to obey you or God, we'll have to see about that. But we can't help but speak what we've seen and what we've heard. And they threaten him. But anyhow, that's why Peter, in chapter 3, he's speaking. He's speaking. That's why he says, repent, therefore. Turn back that your sins may be blotted out. That times of refreshing. What do you think he was referring to when he said times of refreshing? Think it had anything to do with what he just experienced in chapter 2? Huh? Listen, this is early in the life of the church. It's the only good sermon he had. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days it shall be. I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. And in the very next chapter.
He says repent.
Keep things clean. Keep things clear. So that the times of refreshing shall come to the from the presence of the Lord. But now, here's the thing. It's not just for you to be blessed. It's not just for you to be refreshed. He needs you blessed. He needs you refreshed. But there's something connected to this. So that he may send Jesus Christ, who's coming again. Now in Acts chapter 2, which don't turn there, but I'll just, in Acts chapter 2, Peter was saying some of these things, same things. And he said, the reason for this, not just so you can prophesy, not just for the visions, not just for the dreams, not just for the signs and the wonders, but it's all for the purpose that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it's getting God's harvest reaped that causes, thank you, magic screen, that causes Christ
to return.
Yes. And I don't know if we'll talk about that tomorrow or not, but we sure ain't talking about it today, because I done preached myself all kind of happy. And I hope we've preached you happy. Times of refreshing, seasons of revival, recovering from the effects of heat, reviving with fresh air. Glory to God. How many does that sound good to you? You know, you can have that anytime you want that. Glory to God. That's perpetually available for you. But right on the other hand, there's special seasons. There's special times when we come together. Amen. And God wants to just pour out of his spirit upon you. And just wants to bless you. And just wants to refresh you. Amen. How many could use refreshing? How many could use blessing? Yes. Yes. He has that for you. He has that for me. But it's not, I'm going to know this, it's not just what God has for you that makes the difference. It's what will you receive? Huh? How many, you okay if I take a sip of water?
Yeah.
How many want to receive God's refreshing?
Yes.
Want to receive God's blessing?
Yes. Glory.
Amen. How many want to receive it in Book of Acts quantities?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Book of Acts type blessing.
Yes.
Yes. Book of Acts refreshing. We need to close it down, but the thing about it is there's not that many people here, so if I just went around the room like this right now and just laid my hands on people, it wouldn't take very long for me to reach the whole, oh, be blessed in Jesus' name. Can I put my hands on you, sir? Oh, be blessed. Be blessed. Woo! Be blessed. Ha, ha, ha. And then if you respond to that blessing, ha, 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 ha. Woo! Take what you got. Pass it down. Yay! Ha, 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 ha. Y'all want the blessing of the Lord? Put your hand out, sir. Sure appreciate you guys. I want you to know that. Amen. Y'all are fine folk. Good fun. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. We'll get there. Hallelujah. Sis, put your hands out. Oh, be blessed in Jesus' name. Can I put my hands on you?
Yeah.
Oh, be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Times of refreshing. Ho, ho, ha, hey, hey. No broken iPads today. Okay, we'll put that right there. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, 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 daughter. Ha, 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 ha. Woo! Save the best for last. Be blessed, sir. Be blessed, sis, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Stand up, everybody. Can you praise the Lord? Glory. 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 flashing from the presence of God. Glory to God forever. Ha, 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 ha. Well, listen, sometimes we go around 5-6 times and do that until you're real good and saturated. But we only have the room for another few minutes. And you know what? But I'm led not to do any more tonight. But there's tomorrow night.
Yes.
There's tomorrow night.
Yes.
And there's more for us.
Amen.
Tomorrow night. Amen.
Amen.
Tonight we're blessed. We're actually blessed tonight to get to tear down so that they can have Tai Chi tomorrow in his room. And then tomorrow night we'll come set it all back up. But let's bless the Tai Chiers. Amen. And so you have anything else for now? You good, everybody? Did you get something tonight? How many of you glad you came? Amen. Come tomorrow. Listen, let's finish strong. Let's get all that God has for us. Amen. Be blessed. You're dismissed. Maybe help us stack some chairs.